Secretary Husted, thanks for being with us here this afternoon.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
I know that you've been making a big push lately for online voter registration. Tell me how that would work and where that stands, and if you're finding any support in the legislature for such a plan.
Well, it's consistent with our goal of making it easy to vote and hard to cheat. And this improves access for voters because it would allow them to register to vote online. It is more secure than the current paper-based system because with the information that you're required to submit, we can check that against the BMV database, make sure that you are a legally registered voter in the state of Ohio, and ensure that that system works well. It saves money because instead of having to key all this information in, which mistakes could be made and redundancy, and you have to hire more people to do that, this would be an electronic exchange of information, which would save the boards of elections between 50 cents and a dollar per voter. It would save millions of dollars if we converted to an online registration system from a paper-based system. Doesn't mean that we would eliminate the ability for someone to register through the old system, but this new one would really create some enhancements to make it easier to vote, make it more secure, maintain the integrity of the system, and save taxpayer money, which is really a win across the board.
My understanding is that states that have this, there's a pretty high percentage of people that take advantage of this.
Yes, it's very well used. We have 19 states, I believe, across the country that have done this. I've been advocating for this for several years. There are red states and blue states that do it. Republicans and Democrats across the country have embraced this idea. We just really get Ohio and the legislature's attention to give us the authority to do this.
Why haven't you been able to get this through the legislature? I mean, you've got friends.
Well,
there.
I think there are a lot of people who are scared of technology, and it's always good to emphasize this isn't online voting. This is online registration. It's different. There are plenty of checks and balances in place. We need to embrace technology. Technology makes the election system more secure and more efficient. And we really need to modernize our system of elections. This is an easy step that's worked well in 19 other states. The legislature needs to understand what we're talking about here. And that they can really, you know, whether you're somebody that believes it should be easier to vote, whether you're some people that believes there needs to be more security, whether you're concerned about the cost, it really addresses all those issues. And I'm hopeful that we can get the General Assembly's attention and to pass legislation. Frank LaRose, a senator from the Akron area, is introducing legislation in the Senate. He's a Republican. Mike Stenziano, a Democrat from Columbus, has introduced legislation in the House. This really could be a bipartisan win and bipartisan progress for elections in Ohio.
Well, let me ask you this. Would this be any kind of prelude to eventually online voting itself?
The two are not connected in any way, mm-hmm. other than if you have a better system of registration, you have a better election system. I don't think that Ohioans are ready for online voting for a couple of reasons. One, you got to build trust. There's a trust factor there. People don't believe that it's as secure as it needs to be. And secondly, we got to make sure that the technology, there's a lot of cost involved with that. The technology is not really there in a way that I believe people would be comfortable with yet. And so until those things are resolved, I think that actual voting online is way off in the future. But there are lots of other things that we can do online around the election system that can improve it.
You talk about trust in the system, and that's obviously been an issue in Ohio now for some time. Ever since last year's election, the Hamilton County Board of Elections and Board of Elections around the state have been spending an incredible amount of time investigating what they call voter anomalies.
Irregularities.
Irregularities.
Yeah.
and some of which, have turned out to be violations of the law. Others apparently are not. I know you issued an order to all the boards of elections to send you lists of voters who appear.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you exactly what I asked for.
Okay.
What I asked for, because you hear everything leading up to the presidential election is about voter suppression, voter fraud. You hear a lot. You hear those terms thrown around, frankly, very irresponsibly by people on the political left and right. And what I said is that when the election's over, let's find the facts so we know what we're dealing with here. So I ask all 88 county boards of elections to investigate every substantiated claim of voter fraud or voter suppression and determine whether there are any violations in law and refer those to local law enforcement for further investigation. There are about 650 reports of irregularities. 270 of them, as it relates to fraud, were referred to law enforcement for further investigation. And if the investigations turned up enough evidence that the prosecution was deserving, then they were to go ahead and do that. The boards also said that there were zero cases of substantiated voter suppression where a voter was denied the opportunity to go to the polls. So all the noise that you heard before the election about fraud and suppression, in the end, ended up being 270 cases of 5.6 million votes cast where a voter may have done it outside of the law. And ultimately, when you look at prosecutions, it will be, in the end, probably less than 100 for sure. But we did find some problems. It's not an epidemic, but people expect elections officials to provide the security and the integrity for voting. We found 20 cases of voters who cast a vote in Ohio and in another state. We actually found evidence of a voter who cast a vote in person on Election Day in Kentucky and in Ohio. We can't have those kinds of things happen. And so we need to make sure that all the voters that do this the right way, the vast majority of them, understand that, you know what, your vote's not going to be diluted by somebody who cheats. And for everybody who might be thinking about cheating or has, understand, you're going to be held accountable. And we need to do that so that people trust the integrity of the election system.
You say it's not an epidemic. Obviously, it's not when you're talking about 5.6 million people going to the polls and a few hundred who've been referred to prosecutors for possible prosecution. In Hamilton County, I mean, we've had three people convicted so far. One person sentenced to prison. I don't know what the record is around the state, but do you think that this effort is building confidence in the electoral system, or is it eroding confidence in the electoral system? Are people thinking more that they're...
Well, I think accountability always builds confidence.
Yeah.
Accountability builds confidence. And so... We need to work from facts. I wish there were never any cases, but of fraud that went on. But there are, and we should let people know how many they are, how many there are of these cases, and that people are being held accountable. Because it's my goal by doing this that the next time we have a big election, that there will be zero cases of fraud, because people will know that they can't get away with cheating. And ultimately, enforcement and accountability will build confidence in the system, because people will believe that the ones who did it right, their vote's not going to be diluted by someone who cheated. And for anybody who's thinking about, doing things that are outside the law and committing voter fraud, will know that, look, we're watching and we're going to catch you. So just don't do it. It's not worth it.
Earlier this week, the Hamilton County Board of Elections had about 100 cases that they had looked at and investigated and found that there was evidence that these people did not live at the addresses at which they were registered, or, you know, they were registering out of post office boxes or commercial addresses or homes that don't exist anymore. Even police officers registering at police stations. What they did was they decided to send letters to all of those 100 voters, giving them 30 days to change their registration or else be dropped from the voting rolls. Do you think that's a fair way of doing this, handling the situation?
You know, look, they did it on a bipartisan basis, which is a great thing. Yes. The Democrats and Republicans agreed on a course of action where they would not disenfranchise a voter, but they would also make sure those voters are in compliance with Ohio law. Every case has a different set of facts surrounding it, so it's hard to make a blanket statement about every single one of them. I can speak to the fact that we, with the law enforcement officials, for example, law enforcement officials have some reasons where they might not want their home address to be available on a publicly a public database of voter registrations. And so that's why we created the Shield Our Protectors program, which allows a law enforcement official to register at their home address and then redact that information so that it's not publicly available, so somebody that they might have arrested or something like that could find out where they live and do harm to that person or their family. So we have taken steps to try to make sure that they don't have to register at the police station. They can register at home, and they can shield that information so that it will not be available. So we're trying to help people who have valid reasons for registering in places other than their home to comply with the law and do it in a way that protects them. I think we'll work through most of these issues well, but Hamilton County Board is following the law, and they're trying to resolve the matter in an amicable way.
Let's talk briefly about U.S. District Court Judge Marbley's decision on the provisional balloting. Provisional ballots, the so-called right church, wrong pew voters. People who go to the right polling place but go to the wrong table are to be given provisional ballots, correct?
Well, if you show up at a poll, there could be lots of reasons that you get a provisional ballot. If you're not registered to vote at the precinct that you walk up to, your name's not anywhere, you don't have any form of identification, a provisional ballot is really a second chance for you to cast a vote, and then the information that you provide the Board of Elections then can validate that you are truly indeed a registered voter, and then that vote will be counted.
And Judge Marbley's decree said that one of those forms of identification could be the last four digits of a Social Security number.
That is correct. But I believe that state law already allows for that. I didn't agree that there needs to be a continuing jurisdiction held by the federal courts in this matter. I think that the way we were enforcing it, the way that we were enforcing it is consistent with the law and consistent with what the judge wanted. He basically said, but just because I'm doing it the right way doesn't mean a future Secretary of State will do it the right way. And he sees the need to keep control of it. So, you know, that's where things stand. Ultimately, I believe that the Ohio revised code and Ohioans should run Ohio elections, not federal judges. And we disagreed with the continuing jurisdiction of the judge in this case. But it's not going to change anything about how elections are run in Ohio. What he's asked for is the way we have been running it, the way we continue to run them.
Is there anything that the Ohio General Assembly should do in terms of provisional ballots at this point?
Well, I believe the judge struck down the statute, said it was not constitutional. The General Assembly should put in place a constitutional statute that's consistent with the court ruling here. And in the absence of action from the General Assembly, you'll continue to see the federal court intervene in this matter. And so the General Assembly really should be clear about what the law is in the state of Ohio and make sure that they pass legislation consistent with the court order.
Right now in Cincinnati, we're in a third day of early voting in a Cincinnati mayoral primary. It began on Tuesday. Absentee balloting and in-person balloting at the Board of Elections, 35 days prior to the actual mayoral primary. You believe that that's too long a period of time?
Well, I think that there are some complications that come when you're a swing state in a presidential election where people can register to vote and vote at the same time during that Golden Week period, because we have people
and
from
that Golden Week. But yeah. By the Golden Week, you mean the period between
the 5 days, that 5 days between when you can register and when you can where you could register and vote at the same time, because we have in some cases people who probably aren't Ohioans. There are some documented examples of people that come here and vote because they want to be. They want to vote in Ohio because Ohio is so important in presidential races. And I think that does undermine confidence in the system, that there are some people voting in those races, because it's not just that they're voting for president. They're also voting on the local school levy in a community where they don't actually live. And I think that Golden Week opens up that process for abuse. And I would like to see us keep ample access, something less than 30 days. If you could do voting for 4 weeks if you wanted to get rid of that problem. But something less than 30 days is plenty of time for people to cast ballots in the state of Ohio and solve the problem of people from outside of our state coming in and voting during that Golden Week.
Well, there was a great deal of controversy last year about when you had said no voting in the last 3 days.
Well, I didn't say that. The General Assembly said that with a law that they passed.
But you agreed with that.
Well, I don't have a choice about whether I agree or don't agree with laws. I have to enforce them. That's my job.
Yeah. But do you think that is a problem, in that final week?
Look, the boards of elections need some time to be able to get ready for that Tuesday election. When you have voting for 35 days, they need time to synchronize the rolls. They need time to prepare for getting those 40,000 poll workers at over 9,000 precincts across the state of Ohio organized for that Tuesday election. So they need a little time period between the end of voting and when things happen. But we can work those things out on a bipartisan basis, I'm sure.
One last thing. ID cards have been a contentious issue in some states. Do you think we need photo ID cards in the state?
Well, there are no strict photo ID laws pending in the General Assembly. I don't think that issue is really one that Ohio is going to confront in the near term. And so I think that will be done in other states. Ohio's got other issues that we're working on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Secretary Houston.
Thank you.